This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Central Appalachia has some of the worst health measures in the country, but some communities are bucking those trends with better health outcomes. A new report looks at how some Appalachian counties are improving their health statistics and becoming bright spots. Roxy Todd has more.
An analysis of communities throughout the Appalachian region identified 42 counties that performed better than expected, given some of their rates of high poverty, unemployment, and other factors linked to high rates of disease and lower life expectancy. To learn why, the Appalachian Regional Commission studied 10 of these bright spot communities over a three-year period. The study included Grant and Wirt counties in West Virginia and McCreary and Wayne counties in Kentucky. ARC senior economist Julie Marshall says the study revealed some common themes in the communities.
Things like collaboration and cooperation, the connectedness of communities, the spirit of volunteerism.
She says there were a lot of examples of resilience, of communities finding ways to improve health, oftentimes with very little money.
You know, but I was even surprised by just how much is going on in these communities and really how dedicated people are to their homes and how creative they are with resources.
The three-year ARC study was conducted in collaboration with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Foundation for Healthy Kentucky. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:45. Areas of fog this morning with scattered rain and thunderstorms today. Some rain could be heavy at times with highs in the 70s and 80s. A chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies with highs in the 80s. And partly sunny on Friday, a chance of rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 80s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. In a recent episode of WVPB's Us and Them podcast, host Trey Kay revisits a conversation between a liberal college professor and his student, a conservative Republican and Iraqi war veteran. In this excerpt of the episode called The Elephant in the Classroom, you'll hear Huwa Shu and his student, David Carell, try to see both sides of our nation's partisan divide. Trey chimes in a little later.
I was doing an independent study with Dave, and we just sort of, there was no actual final assignment, so I just said, look, you've mentioned in the past wanting to write about your experiences, just write me, you know, 5 or 6 pages, and that'll be it.
I have files and files of just stuff, because I don't sleep well some nights, you know, so whenever I'm thinking about it, I just go try to write it, just to get it down and out.
He sent me a document. It was one of the most disturbing things I've ever read.
You know, I mean, I revisit it a lot just in my own mind. It plays all the time in my own mind.
And part of it was because I think he was aware of how disturbing it was.
You know, I have tons and tons of just gibberish written, but so far they've just been going into a file on my computer that says veteran shit.
This was just an account of combat, of life as a soldier, of destruction that was unlike anything I'd ever read or seen.
You know, you have highlights that you look back on your life. Some of my highlights are just happen to be really horrible things happening.
And when he turned the paper in, he included this note. Don't worry, man, I'm not a monster anymore. Ha ha. I've come to grips with my past. It's hard to tell my story to civilians because the first thing most of them think is,
he likes killing. I wonder if he still wants to. War is a different place. Those actions are acceptable there. I have boxes full of medals from acting like that. They're all in my attic to be seen again whenever I move. I am not proud of a lot of things I did while I was deployed, but I am damn sure not ashamed of any of them. Most of the people I know now in my life know I was in the Army, but few of them know what you know now. If this paper has to be seen by anyone other than you, let me know so I can write you something else. This is for your eyes only. See you next semester.
Typically when I meet with students, I can kind of rely on being older than them to have a tiny bit more wisdom than them. With these guys, there was no age difference and their life experiences were really different from mine. I didn't feel like I had that much to offer other than just as someone who's willing to listen to them and take them seriously.
What was the experience actually like?
Of being in a tank?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it's miserable, but it's pretty miserable. So whenever you're, you know, in August in Iraq, it's 110 outside, it's 125 in the tank, you know, so it gets to be miserable. And there's a lot of times where you did 24-hour ops, so you went out there and sat for 24 hours in one spot and just kind of scanned. And after a while, it'd feel like your brain is literally melting because it was just so unbearable.
So over 11 years, you were in Iraq for like 4.5 years?
Yeah, four.
4 years. How many firefights were you involved in?
A lot. I would say that I pulled the triggers, you know, around about 300 times. I think the best I can gauge IEDs that went off on my vehicle or near my vehicle is 32.
Like, what do you do to kind of keep it together? Are you just sort of anticipating the next rush?
Yeah, you're just anticipating the next rush because it can happen at any second. You kind of just sit in there and just talk and listen to the radio. So you could wire up a radio that would come through the headset in the tank. So you just play music.
What were you listening to?
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
floor. It was on somebody's iPod, but Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, man. You listen to that and just wait for the kickoff. You'd just be in the tunnel waiting for him to call your name.
Like, you would just listen to that one song over and over?
I mean, that was the theme of it. Say back then you had 180 songs on a thing. You know, out of 180 songs on the iPod, that Let the Bodies Hit the Floor had to play at least 5 times. You know, so if you had to put a theme song to the war in Iraq, it would be that. Everybody had their own taste, but in my tank it was nasty heavy metal.
Do you still listen to those songs now?
No, I can't listen to them anymore.
You know, up until this point, I felt like I had a pretty good understanding of him, and what really shocked me about what he sent me was just how it seemed as though he actually would have wanted to go back.
So I missed the adrenaline of it. You know, it's the fear, the excitement, the pain. If you get to engage with the enemy at close range, it's like the best challenge that you can have in your life. And then on the other side of that is when it doesn't go right and it's really bad. So then you can go into the rest of your life knowing that it'll never, ever be as worse as war. But there's also a little bit of it that you're never going to feel again, that you're going to miss.
I think what troubled me was the honesty, was his recognition that this was a part of who he was. I just felt really humbled, and I also just felt in awe that this guy had done all of these things, and now I was somehow responsible for him.
Even I remember going to your office the first semester and just looking around in your office and be like, oh yeah, this is the exact same, you know, you got the West Coast vibe on it, but you know, this is the exact same stuff that I have.
Now, Hua's office is chock full of books, vinyl record albums, baseball cards, posters, and various memorabilia that reflect his nostalgia for growing up in the 1990s. There's a lot of hip hop in the mix.
You know, I was like, this is awesome because it's just random 90s things thrown in there. You know, just like you had a Master P doll. You know, I was like, oh.
Dave's talking about a little doll that's made in the image of 90s hip hop artist Master P. This thing is still packed in its original box. If you pull in the string, this little Master P would sing his double platinum hit, Make Him Say Make Him Say Uh.
One thing that I think is really important to note is that these guys weren't the types to sit around and swap war stories. In fact, Dave told us that before coming to Vassar, he'd been part of a veterans group at his previous school, and he had put up a sign on the first day that said, only one war story per day. He just wasn't really the type who wanted to live in the past.
So as I sat and recorded Hua interviewing Dave, I had the impulse to ask Dave if he'd mind letting me read the essay that he'd shared with Hua. And he gave me a flat-out no. And I asked why. And he said that I hadn't earned the right yet. This exchange got Hua to thinking.
You just said that, like, someone you don't know needs to, like, earn the right to access your stories. Why did you think I deserve to read? I mean, I know I assigned you something,
you have,
but like,
Master P doll in your room, dude. You know, I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot. You know, it just has to be somebody that you can connect with, that you know it's not just going to be that's open-minded enough to see those things and say, well, that's really not who he is. That's just some of the things that has, you know, he's been involved in.
I think that's
all because of the Master P doll.
all runs around the Master P doll.
It's crazy that I barely remember that I have that doll in my I mean, it's because I have so much in my office, but I mean, did you think though, when we started like our class, that I would end up earning that right?
No, because I think you were the first professor that I had. I think you were the very, very first class that I'd taken at Vassar. You know, so, and then here comes, you know, the stereotypical Northeast professor, you know, and I was like, oh, look at this guy, you know, and you didn't know what to expect for a while. And then after, you know, the third or fourth class, I think that's when I was like, hey, man, this guy gets it. You know, he understands what's, you know, all of this kind of looks like a little bit.
That first month, all three of you guys had a lot of challenges and you would come talk to me and I would feel really bad. But then after a while, I was like, I can't just, feeling bad doesn't really do anything. I can't just like have pity for these guys.
Yeah. And none of us want that. You know, I don't know any veterans at all that are at top tier institutions that are looking for even a drop of pity. Nobody wants that at all. We just don't know what we're doing.
Like, how do you think being here has changed your sense of like politics or just sort of how you see the world or...
So I've always had a moderate conservative viewpoint, always. Yeah. And, you know, I just think that as far as what's really changed me from being here is knowing that the left and the right aren't that far off. We're, you know, there's the far left that's far left, and then there's the far right. But almost every single person that's here could be just categorized in the middle, because there's no one that I've spoke to that's far left or far right. You know, so even the ones that I would assume was far left by Texas standards, once you get talking to them and speaking with them, there's compromise there. You know, I don't think it matters if you got an elephant or the donkey on your shirt. I don't think it really matters. So I think that what I've learned is that I don't think it matters.
We've been listening to an excerpt from WVPB's Us and Them podcast episode, The Elephant in the Classroom. To hear the entire episode, download the Us and Them podcast from iTunes, Stitcher, NPR One, or Radio Public. You can also listen online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.